Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I contribute to All Titles and Greenspun Media Group. And joining us once more this week from our Cats with the Dish Montana Bureau is my favorite cowgirl, Trisha McCrone. Rope them doggies. How's it going up there, Dishy?
Yeehaw.
We miss you here.
Oh, I miss you too. I can't say I wish I was there because I hear it is brutal, brutally hot.
It's been rough. Yeah, you are absolutely right about that. It's been rough, and even for here, it's been unseasonably hot and a little muggy and just generally miserable outside. So, as I say, do your work inside if you can.
Oh, and here I am looking out over Flathead Lake with a nice cool breeze. It's probably about, 84 degrees here.
That sounds horrible.
I know. I don't know how I do it. And I'm accomplishing absolutely nothing. What?
Are you wearing a ski mask and a parka and mittens?
Exactly. And... Oh, it's awful. It's crazy. I'm surprised. I almost didn't know what to do with all this fresh air.
It's big sky country up there in Montana. And
It is.
It's a gear
slower.
It's not
disappointing either.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a certain bartender at the Spinnaker that gives her love.
Oh,
Cassie.
Yeah. What's her name again?
Tattooed bartender is wondering where you were.
You can't really take Johnny anywhere, can you? It's some kind of a problem. Tell her I say hello too. She's a lovely woman.
I will. I'm sure that I'll see her I'll see her as this airs. I'm sure I will see her tonight.
Is she aware that she's a legend, do you think?
She's a legend.
I mean, here in Las Vegas, she's a legend up there, but I wonder if she understands that her legend has blossomed to all the way to Las Vegas. Maybe when I see her, I'll have to ask her
about
that.
Yes, and once again, there was a whole night of drinking and eating, and I think the tab came to $27. Gotta love the Montana poor.
You pay them in Buffalo nickels.
That's all there is to it. So what's going on in Vegas? Fill me in on something.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm gearing up to see Surf the Musical is coming up. I met Taylor Hicks Monday night over at Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns. That was pretty fun. That was a pretty fun experience. And Clint Holmes was there with him, and he got up and sang with the band. That was a remarkably fun night. It was just today over at the Hard Rock Hotel where they're putting in a new entertainment venue there called Vinyl. And it's going to be opening next month with a private show hosted by Sammy Hagar. And they're going to have some cool acts in there. It seats 600 and change in there. And it's as you walk into the hotel, it's right across from Pink Taco from the garage, if you are familiar with that area, where the gift shop used to be. So I was over there.
Well, I mean, Sammy, though, is not my friends, David and Eddie, my magician friends. But that's okay. Sammy's
you know
crazy,
about
okay,
David so and Eddie? They might be playing the Super Bowl next year. Did you hear that rumor?
What? No, I did not hear that.
They're going to be playing music, not doing magic.
Well, then forget it. I have no desire to see that. I only know them as a magician.
We don't have time to tell the backstory of that one again. I think it might be my favorite dream of all time. Don't talk to them about music. It's all about magic, John. Magic. This is a dream I had with Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth, and Trish somehow met them and only knew them as magicians.
Yes,
anyway, but when do you do back in town? You have any plans to get back here soon?
I'll be home in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Come back in. All right.
Give or take. I don't know. I don't even know what day of the week it is right now that I'm talking to you. I don't know what date it is. And, you know, if my little phone didn't bing telling me I was supposed to call in, I probably would have slept through it.
Well, that's a good place to be. We'll catch up when you get back. But we have to announce a friend of ours who is going to be our guest this week, who's responsible for the Black
Amazing.
Box Theater showcases at Artisan, which we're both fans of.
And yes, she's amazing, and it's just even a nicer person on the inside as she is on the as beautiful she's on the outside, she's on the inside. And I know you guys are going to get to see that by listening to the interview.
Absolutely. So coming up immediately before our guest is Josh Bell with Movies, and then it's Lena Giroux, formerly of Peep Show and of Black Box Presents at the Artisan. So stick around. I know we will.
Maybe I'm coming down with something.
Oh, I know what you've got. The L word.
Yeah, leprosy.
No, Sid, no. It's four letters. Starts with L, ends with E.
Aha! Lice.
No, Diego, my friend, is in love.
Oh, yeah, love.
You mean with the pirates? No.
That's Ray Romano, Dennis Leary, and John Leguizamo as the voices of Manny the Woolly Mammoth, Diego the Saber-Toothed Tiger, and Sid the Sloth, respectively, in the new animated movie Ice Age Continental Drift. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. In the U.S., the Ice Age series is small time compared to the likes of Shrek or Toy Story, but the animated franchise is a worldwide phenomenon. Maybe it's the completely anonymous, unassuming nature of the adventures of three prehistoric animals, or maybe it's the broad, predictable jokes and simplistic storylines. But whatever it is that allows the series to be easily exported to other countries, Continental Drift offers up more of it, in an easily digestible form that will distract kids and won't unduly inconvenience adults. I give Ice Age Continental Drift 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release over at the Regal Village Square is the documentary OC87, the obsessive-compulsive major depression bipolar Asperger's movie, which documents co-director, co-writer, and star Bud Clayman's struggles with mental illness. The movie itself is such an integral part of Clayman's recovery process that it seems almost cruel to criticize it in any way. And Clayman himself is a sometimes ingratiating, sometimes irritating screen presence. It's hard not to root for the guy, but just because we hope for someone's therapy to succeed doesn't mean that we want to sit in on every session. I give OC87 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the Brown Pearl. Hello. That's her stage name. She's not a superhero. She was one of the stars of Peep Show.
Yeah, she kind
of
is a superhero.
Open at Planet Hollywood. What have I said about the intro?
Sorry, I'll
we not in her intro.
Zip it, Macrone.
Interrupt the intro. She was in Peep Show, one of the stars, when it opened at Planet Hollywood back in 2009, and was in the show for nearly a year. She played the role of
Mother G,
among others, understudied for Melby in that show. We'll get to that later as soon as I finish my introduction. She was also a choreographer at 40 Deuce at Mandalay Bay and backed Wayne Brady in his great show at the Venetian. Her next appearance on stage in Las Vegas is July 18th at the Artisan Hotel, the world-famous Artisan Hotel, as part of the Black Box Theater Presents American Dreams production. Welcome to the show, Lena Giroux.
Woo! That was very beautiful, and I like how the end rhymed.
A Brown Pearl.
I like, awesome. Welcome to the show, Lena Giroux.
Well, it seems a sensible thing to say.
It was, I know,
Giroux
but it was
on the show.
Rhyme. But it matched. It was kind of a rhyme. That was the point.
Sometimes
that was
I'm
point
unintentionally.
Okay, I'm going to say
awesome.
Right now.
Thanks, cats.
You're welcome,
I had a full
Lena.
Disclosure that Lena is one. We're not going to let cats talk anymore now. But that Lena is one of my closest friends and one of the most incredible women I've ever met in my life. I have to say that. And that's aside from the fact that you're one of the most talented people in this town.
Very talented.
That's very nice. Thank you.
I love you, love you, love you.
I love you too, babe.
How we actually met is you were in Mother G. I know. We love you too, cats. You were in Mother G. You were Mother G.
I like
in,
you both a lot. Often.
I would say Mother. Is it Mother?
It's
like
Mother.
The
mother.
Sign says Mother.
I like to get... you know, down with the correct pronunciation.
I know, you're kind of into the street lingo lately, I've noticed.
I am, and I'm like the like
say,
most I'm the most uncool white chick in the world, and so me trying to do any kind of slang is
Dish, have
funny.
You ever been to Compton?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I covered the O.J. trial for Denny Jones, as a matter of fact. But
you had an alibi, right?
I had an alibi, exactly. So, no, but you, when we first met, you were performing as Mother G, and we actually met through a former guest of ours, Sabrina Bryan,
yeah.
Because long before you coming to Vegas and doing all that, you were the choreographer for the Cheetah Girls.
Yes.
So
which is awesome.
You know, the tour. So it's like, I mean, so let's talk about how this all, I mean, obviously you started out singing and performing. Let's take it from the beginning.
From the very beginning?
Well, okay, you were
like
born.
Chunk. Yeah, we knew that.
I want to know where Brown Pearl came from. So
Let's
start maybe with that.
Brown Pearl actually came up when I started doing my cabaret act, which was after I moved to Vegas. I had a knee injury, and kind of after pouting for a minute and trying to figure out what was happening in life, I kind of surrendered to the moment and decided, well, I could sing. I can't really get down and dance. I still can, but not
yes,
like...
Yes, you can.
Not
you
like,
can.
You know...
Was this a
I'm
stage
not doing
injury
knee slides anytime
was
soon.
Was it a stage injury during the performance in Peep Show?
It was a stage injury, yeah. I came off stage at Peep Show, and there was a fog machine that was too low to the ground, and it makes, you know, the stage really slippery. So I ate it.
So you said, oh, fog.
Fog.
We need a rim shot. We need the rim shot.
I'll find the rim shot. Yeah. But this is a career-threatening injury.
Absolutely.
Like an athletic injury, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had a meniscus tear and surgery, and it was a nightmare. But at the same time, it was a blessing because I, like I said, I surrendered, and I was like, okay, well, what else should I be doing? What else can I do besides just dancing in the background, besides doing choreography? So doing Peep Show actually really gave me the confidence to sing because I understudied Mel B. And
yeah, and we were actually there the night that Mel B left. It was the night before Mel B left one night, and there was a night performance. It was Holly's first performance, Holly
right.
Madison.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the next day, Shoshana Bean was right. coming in. So it just so happened that Katz and I were there that very night, and I didn't know Shoshana hadn't started yet. And when you popped up there as the Peep Diva, I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you were brilliant.
That's so
your
awesome.
Vocals
thank you.
Are just off the chart ridiculous.
Thanks,
your range
love.
I mean, it was incredible. So it's a lot of people I'm sure that just remember you from Peep Show. Obviously you sang in Peep Show, but when you did Peep Diva, we really got to see your vocal range. So you
thank
always
you.
Could sing long before the knee
yeah,
injury.
Yeah, this is true. And Jerry really, you know, Jerry Mitchell, he really gave me that push and mm-hmm. made me step up to the plate.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice, and I just did it. And after my knee injury, I was like, you know what, Jerry's pretty awesome. He believed in me. And then I just got all these people, all my friends and everybody who came to see the show, they were freaking out and just said how great it was. And I was like, well, you know, maybe I should kind of attack the singing thing and play around with more of a cabaret show and just bring together all the things that I've ever done in the past,
mm-hmm.
doing burlesque, doing Wayne Brady, watching him
right.
do his comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of little sticks in there I try to throw. So I just came up with this cabaret act, and I called myself the Brown Pearl.
Yeah. I love it.
The Brady Show is one that you can't, it's much more than just being, having a lot of dance skills
right.
or music
right.
aptitude or anything. You really have to be able to think fast,
yes.
as fast as he does.
He
How
was,
is that for a dancer?
It was a bit of a school.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I went to school when I was working with him because I just sat there, all of us. And I mean, I choreographed for him as well. But we just sat there and watched him when we weren't dancing, just watched him play with the audience, and he's a bit of a comedian in a way,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to handle the audience with their banter, and his improv skills are just on point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was really inspired also by that show, and I took bits and pieces of what I learned and put that into the Brown
Did
program.
You choreograph the single ladies number for him?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's actually that was actually Chris Quibon.
Okay.
And he is Chrissy is one of our creative associate directors in Black Box Theater.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
Yeah, big family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surrounded by some amazingly talented people. So just, I wanted to bring everybody into this world. And I feel like Vegas is amazing. There's so much talent here. But a lot of people think that Vegas is a place where entertainers come to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's
where they come to suffer a knee injury, I
think. Right, exactly.
The worst.
But it actually isn't. And now that I've, like I said, I think surrender is my mantra for the year. Once I surrendered and I just kind of watched the vast talent that is Vegas. I mean, fire breathers, circus acts. It's not like LA mm-hmm. and New York where it's just Broadway singing and dancing and acting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things that people do here, a lot of different talents. And with Black Box Theater, I guess I looked at Vegas, and there's a lot of things here to do for tourists.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. totally a place to come visit and just, you know,
take everything
adult
in, yeah.
candy land, you know?
Yeah.
And there's really nothing for performers. Everybody just, you know, they bust every single
mm-hmm.
night, and there's really no playground for us. So I think what ended up happening after, you know, doing the cabaret act out in LA, I did it at Cafe Was and SIR and a couple of spots. After doing the show there, I had some people come up on stage with me, and I was like, you know, we actually should be doing something like this in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. Me and my partners got together, and we were like, let's create a space, an outlet for the Las Vegas performers on the strip, off the strip, bringing people together to perform for each other, to choreograph for each other, a bit of a showcase.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because we do have some of the I know Katz is a huge supporter of the composer showcase that
big
happens
time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Those sort of things. And there's a lot of people over the years that have tried, whether it's been, you know, the open mic night at Kelly Klein. There's been
mm-hmm.
certain things where people have been like trying to get that old Vegas, like, all the entertainers come and jam together, and it's really never taken off. I mean, you occasionally hear there at someone like, or sometimes at Frankie Marino's show or something,
right.
like people will, a group of people kind of get together, but it's never really come together on the scale that it was at this before. Wow. And the first one that you did, I mean, I know you didn't know what to expect. And, you know, Katz and I were there, as were probably about another 1,000 people.
The entire dance community was at the artist's
that
night.
Yeah, and so it was, but it wasn't just, okay, here's a show or here's a jam session. It was a, not just everybody, okay, you know, hey, do you know this? Do you know that? It was a well planned out, choreographed, rehearsed experience that literally took place around the entire hotel. It wasn't just like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this, you're going to do that. Yeah. Did you purposely set out to make it where it isn't just sort of almost like a little bit of a free-for-all, come and hang loose, and a real show? It was that in the pre-planning?
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
It's true.
For saying that. We wanted to do something that was highly produced, that, you know, like you were saying, you don't feel like you're just getting up there and it's open mic. Like, step out the box and do what you'd like to do, get out of the norm, but also it'd be produced, it'd be top-notch talent. We brought in amazing makeup artist.
Oh, the makeup was incredible. I didn't even Paula Castleton, isn't that her last name?
Paula Castleton.
Yeah, from Peep Show, who is the dance captain. And that she is
terrific.
Literally, she's waving at me, and I was like, hi. And all of a sudden, Katz looked at me and goes, that's Paula. I went,
she's
that's
dressed
Paula.
Something like a bedazzled devil.
Snake.
Yeah,
she was a snake.
She was just all paint. There was nothing else on that woman but
paint. Big shout out to Sarah. She, Sarah was the head of our makeup department, and she brought in some amazing makeup artist that worked with latex for Sheila, Black Magic Woman, peeling that latex off, the Blue and Red Devils, and our snake, our seduction girl, Paula.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, on the bar.
Yeah,
she was, I mean, I didn't even recognize her. It was such a great, it was such an incredible thing. And none of these performers got paid, correct?
We all got together, and when the thing that I said to everybody is, I've done certain things in the past. I've done free shows in the past, in LA and in New York as well, and it's a bit of an abusive thing when you have the producers asking you to do this once a month and you're putting on this amazing show and you're not really getting compensated. And that was I'm really an advocate on when it comes to our partners. I'm the advocate that says, okay, well, what are we doing for our community? How are we giving back? Mm-hmm. And this next one, actually, we sent out a text message and sent out emails and thanked everybody so much for being a part of the last one. And we actually took a huge loss financially, but it wasn't. It was, everything that you're saying is
you showed what it was. You gave the, in a way, it was a perfect way to do it because you did give everybody the excitement of, and this was just open to anybody that wanted to come. So now people know in the future that it is something that is worth paying for.
Absolutely.
Or that is worth it. It was kind of an introduction, almost like that little taste to come back to the
little teaser. Well, we're paying this time, though. We're starting off. We don't have a lot to give, but you know, I know as a performer in the past doing that, anytime anybody on the production end came up to me and gave me a free ticket for my friend to come see the show, water, fruit, something during rehearsals, because we're giving our time. It's those little things of appreciation. So that's what we're starting to do with our cast, giving a little bit of money as well as, you know, what we can give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. I got to do this. You're listening to Katz with the Dish, John Katzelminus with Tricia McCrone and Lena Giroux, the Brown Pearl, appearing July 18th at the Artisan. At the Black Box Theater presents American Dreams. I will make this comparison, Lena, and Dish is right. I have been around a lot of these showcase-type events. The cast party that was out here several months ago by Jim Caruso, who came out from New York and did it at Alexis Park, this kind of a, you know, open mic party show. People show up, and everyone from, you know, Reva Rice, Donny Osmond show up to do numbers, do songs. The Composer Showcase started at Suede Restaurant 6 years ago next to the Double Down. And much like this, the first few shows were really organic. People came in and performed their own music, and nobody knew what was going to happen. You never knew if they were going to have another one even the next month. Right. And this seems like the model of as composers have gravitated to the Composer's Showcase, which is now sold out. Its most recent appearance at Cabaret Jazz.
Nice.
240 people paid.
Amazing.
This is what the dancers have. Yeah. That's what it feels like to me. Why the Artisan? Why is it being performed there? I'm wondering, because this is not anybody who knows the entertainment scene in Las Vegas understands the Artisan is not built to be an entertainment
venue.
It's
a very boutique, very local.
It's a lot of nooks and crannies as designed. All of the rooms are named for famous artists. It's kind of a cool little hovel. But
it's kind of a little hidden treasure.
Not a place where you'd put on, you don't want to have a high collection of entertainment an audience for entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
Why was this partnership important?
Good question. I wanted to be off the strip, first off, because I felt like because we're offering this opportunity in this stage to strip performers, it'd be interesting to get them off the strip.
Mm-hmm.
And about 4 years ago when I first moved out here, I moved out here to do Ivan Caine's 40 Deuce. Mm-hmm. I was one of the choreographers for the show. And, you know, just coming out here to work, of course, we had some friends who were like, okay, these are the places you got to go see. This is, you know, the spots where the locals hang out. And one of the spots was the Artisan.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in and I was like, oh man, this place is dope. This place is cool. And working in 40 Deuce, having that stage that we had to work with, dancing on the bar,
yeah,
very intimate setting, Artisan was a no-brainer to me when we decided to come up and do this, because I've worked in that arena before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And something is really powerful about being able to touch that performer that's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And
although sometimes they get mad at you.
Yeah, sometimes they like it. But but yeah, for me, I was just like, this is the place. Plus it has that vibe that it already exists with all that art. And
it's very cool.
It's very cool.
You feel like you're
energy.
Like it's unlike anything else,
right,
in Las Vegas. Now, with the last one was Free Society, and it was kind of, everything was very exotic and erotic. And
it was carnival.
Yeah, it was like a big party, basically,
right,
what it was, of all different types of things. And of course, you had some of our former guests were involved there. It's Sky D. Miles.
Yes.
And it's you. First of all, you opening the show. You were literally like the Pied Piper, bringing everybody along and singing,
yes,
beautifully. And I tell you that because I had not watched you perform in so long, that because you've been doing so many other exciting things behind the scenes,
mm-hmm,
that it was like just seeing you up there again, I'm like, my Lord, why isn't this girl performing every single night? That it's like you're captivating, really, when you perform. You
Thanks,
really
Gigi.
Did bring every, you ran the whole thing. You,
yeah,
led the group to follow along with your journey that you were taking them on.
At the chapel.
So yeah, exactly. So now this time it is American Dreams,
yes,
right?
The American Dream, American Dreams.
So now what does that mean? Like, I mean, what is sort of, how does that mean as far as your theme? And are you going to have the same entertainers?
Yes. Well, my co-host, which I have to give a shout out to, they're amazing. Nick and James Aragon, the Ninja Twins.
Oh my Lord.
They're awesome.
Oh, please go to YouTube and look,
yes,
up Ninja Twins from So You Think You Can Dance. Lena, they were in full on makeup. And
yes,
so I was saying how great they were behind you dancing.
Day of the Dead makeup, yes, and Mary Antoinette
they
costumes.
They were amazing. And so,
yeah,
I said, I love those guys. And you're like, well, you've seen that on So You Think You Dance, right? And I'm like, no. You literally showed me the clip. These two boys are stars.
They're amazing.
They are stars.
They're amazing. They're working with Nigel Lithgow right now, getting their own show.
And deserve it.
And I've known them for years. They're my brothers. And from day one when I met them, I was like, you all need your own show. And
yeah,
they're getting it. And they're just,
so
I love
I'm
them.
Happy to hear that they are back.
Yes.
So they're co-hosting with you.
They're going to be here every month. That's the plan.
Okay.
They're coming every month to co-host with me. And we actually have done some shows out in California together, the three of us. So we have like a little
yeah,
cabaret group.
You guys,
you know,
definitely have a rapport.
Yeah, we have a little good synergy thing going. So they will be back. And yeah, pretty much everybody who's available, we offered it to them again. And we have some new faces that are coming
on board. I imagine that you had a lot of people contact you after the last one.
Oh,
like,
glory in the highest.
Yeah.
Amen. We sure did. It was fabulous. My Facebook page blew up and it was awesome. I just had a lot of people saying how great it was. We had some amazing comments, like paragraphs long of what the night meant to certain people. And I'm still in shock. I didn't realize how this would resonate with the community.
Yeah,
so,
just last night we ran into somebody with the Artisan.
Oh yeah,
when we were all of us
the
were
marketing,
out last night,
yeah,
and then
Dana.
It was so nice to have her stop and be like, "What? Well, I mean, what an incredible night it was!" And
yeah,
what we all know about the Artisan, but it kind of almost brought a little bit of a resurgence,
mm-hmm,
back. So it is a very good marriage between
we
your
love
company.
Them.
So you have the twins co-hosting again, which is great.
Yeah.
But I also want to talk about, especially Judah, who is producing with you. You have a great group of people that are putting this together with you. Can you tell us about who they are?
I do. I have an amazing team. My partners, Judah Zakalik and Stephen Peralta.
Love Judah.
And Stephen Peralta, they both are amazing. Judah is the lawyer in the group, and as well as the creative voice. And Stephen, as well, is very creative and is very savvy in the nightclub industry. So I think with the tripod of bringing us together and thinking about how to create a really amazing show, it's a really nice balance. So I'm really grateful for their support and their belief in the project, as well as all the other performers and dancers in the show.
But I know that, again, we want to say that it's coming up on the 18th.
July 18th.
July 18th, Wednesday. But before, I also want to get into what you are doing with Adam Lambert, because I think that is so exciting. So
my friend
Carmeet
Bakar, who is a former member of the Pussycat Dolls, she and Adam go way back, because he used to do her show, the Zodiac Show, out in California. And he finally got his break to bring in his people to do his next album.
So not under all the American Idol.
Exactly. So when he called Carmeet called me, and we teamed up when we came in and helped out with the artistic direction for his live shows that he's performing now, and also his video, Never Close Our Eyes. So it was really cool to work with him. He's insanely talented. I call him the second coming, because his voice is just out of hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He's insane. Mm-hmm. He's insane. He's wonderful. So it was really cool to work with him and also be in that live element, listening to live music, hearing his... I totally got inspired. So,
And also you have an incredible sizzle reel. You have an exciting project that you... Explain it. It's out of there. I want you to explain it.
Make a move.
Cool. Yes, make a move.
Make a move. Yeah, make a move. We... That started actually right when I moved to Vegas. I was on So You Think You Could Dance with my cousin, Tavares Wilson. He's an amazing choreographer. And he brought me in to help him out for So You Think You Could Dance. And just being in the production and watching how everything was going and watching the eliminating process, I was like, it's kind of weird because the dancer that's dancing is absolutely insanely talented, but the judges aren't just judging the dance. The judges are judging the choreography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if the choreography is bad, this poor dancer might get the boot.
Exactly.
That's not fair. So
I've often, Lena, judged my own dancing too harshly based on choreography.
Do. You're a choreographer.
It's not my absence of rhythm.
It's not, no.
It's not my outdated 80s moves.
No, it's the choreography.
You're blaming Chris Phillips for the choreography.
Chris Phillips is, that's exactly right. I'm going to end that partnership publicly right now. Zoe Boy, out. But
that's how it came about.
So the show is about this, and it's about
choreography. It's about watching how dance is created, because you have all these different avenues of creating art. We were just talking about mm-hmm. it with
the painting behind us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, some people like to listen to music. Some people like to hear something or take a life situation and decide to do a piece on it and find a song that matches it.
Yeah.
So the show, which we're having some pretty good energy with right now, is based on that. And it's just like So You Think You Could Dance, just like Project Runway. You know, it was all about the models. And then all of a sudden, we got a peek behind stage and watched how garments are made.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with Make a Move. You see
There's
the dancer.
All these components to what you see on stage.
I cannot say that all of these things that you are doing, no one deserves the success more, because you are amazing. I call her my Zen. I do. I call her my Zen.
We got to pick a nickname for her. I'm going to stick with Brown Pearl. You can call her my Zen.
I seriously hashtag Zen, you know, all the time when I write it, because she's one of the most incredible women out there. And
you're
I'm
awesome,
blessed to
she.
Have her in my life.
I'm
and we are
to
thrilled
you,
to have you to show. And Black Box Theater presents American Dreams on the 18th of July.
And that show starts at what time? It starts later.
The show actually is going to start at 1 a.m.
1 a.m.
So it's an after hours.
July 19th,
so
isn't it?
Technically the 19th.
But it starts, doors open at 11. So if you want to get your drink on and hang out and, you know, mingle with your friends, that kind of thing. But the theme is going to switch every month.
Okay.
The first one was Free Society, which was another term for carnival, for stepping out of the norm. And that's why we had those Blue and Red Devils, which is... from Trinidad, which is where my mom's from. And we used to see all those characters in Carnival. So we brought a lot of those things into that world. And American Dreams now is talking about what is American Dreams to you as a person, as a society, you know.
Right.
So we're playing on all that stuff.
Well, thanks very much for coming down, Lena. We can't
wait
to see this again. One of the really, really cool things happening in Las Vegas.
And
just
what's the website, so if you want more information on it?
Well, you go to Black Box Theater Presents on Facebook. And we'll have all the information there.
Great.
Right on.
Do it.
Get on the ground floor of this. It's going to be a really, really cool thing. Thanks again.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah!